two beards and a mustache, mate.
Welcome, everybody, to our first podcast. Two beards and a mustache. How's everyone doing tonight? Are we good?
Not bad, mate. Not bad. Excited. Excited.
It's a big moment.
All right, mate. Fucking talk over me. Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yeah.
I'm good. So let me just give you a breakdown of what we're going to do today. Obviously, it's very new, but we've got our little itinerary to hopefully make it fun for you all and give you a clear outline of what we're going to do. So first things first, I've got a big question to ask the guys. We'll run through that and have a little chat. And from there, we'll obviously focus on our main areas that we focus on the site, which is gaming and culture. And then we've got a little game that we've put together, which I think you're going to enjoy at the end. And that will lead us straight through to the end of the whole podcast. We haven't got a time limit on the podcast. We won't make it 3 hours, but before Smee falls asleep, but we'll try our best to entertain for as long as we can. So let's crack on. So the first main subject overall is an interesting one. We're all avid gamers, of course. But now, so this actually came out last year in 2018. We missed it, of course, because we don't really care about this kind of thing too much on the gaming side, because gaming's always get shone on in a probably a bad light. But now, there is a disorder for gaming. So the World Health Organization, a very serious company, has identified the addiction to video games as a disorder. What they've basically said, let me give you a little background before we, the other two slate this idea. Tech is addictive, apparently, to the point where, you know, Twitter and social and Facebook, more importantly, but social media as a whole has been put in as a disorder because it's addictive and people can't stay off it. And if they are away from it for a long period of time, they start going a bit mental, apparently. So gaming is apparently the same. So it means if you play games along for a long period of time and then don't have gaming in your life for up to 24 hours, you can go a little insane and it can lead to big psychological mishaps in your brain. How does everyone feel about that? It's a bit deep, but...
So I'll be honest with you, mate. I can see the viewpoint that gaming can be an addiction, because especially if you have that type of personality already, where say for example anything that from like food to alcohol to gaming that you enjoy, you're going to pursue that as much as you can. It probably depends on the age of the individuals that they tested, but I imagine the older you get, the less time you have for gaming, right? So in terms of whether it holds true for our age group, I'm not entirely sure. But especially with the younger generation, this is what they grew up with. So they grew up with gaming, they grew up with technology, social media, etc. It's something that's sort of a big part of their life. So I can understand for sure why it's hard to tear themselves away from their mobile phones, from their games, etc. Because there's a fear of missing out. If all of their friends are doing one thing, or all your mates are discussing a new game, or they're discussing a new app, a new phone, whatever, you want to be sort of joining in on that conversation. You don't want to be the last one to know. So I can see why it's come about. In terms of sort of like the negative effects, to be classed as a mental illness, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, are they saying that it's affecting people's lives? Like, are they, it's, you know.
So if I make it very specific for you, because they've made it very specific in general. Now, this is from two or three articles, right? So this is from the World Health Organization. Right. Also, obviously, the papers have come back with it as well.
Sure.
Before we get Smave's idea on it, because I know he's going to have a couple of words to say, let me just specify what they actually send. So it's classed as a mental health thing because it sits in that bracket, but the actual specific thing is a disorder, which apparently is down to the fact that it's addictive on the sense of, like you said, missing out, but also, so one of the things that I sell gaming on is the fact that it can, you know, it's helped all of us in a way to disappear from the real world sometimes, which I see as a positive. They say that especially with simulation games, you can get so into simulation games to the point where you think you are that person or that character. I know I'm laughing and I apologize, but that's because just I find personally find it silly, to the point where you value that over your own life. If that gets taken away from you, it could have a big adverse effect, to the point where, you know, you can mentally do something to you that you'll start hating your own real life.
I mean, in terms of sort of like symptoms, I was thinking more along the lines of, because addiction, it would take the form of you prioritizing that over your real life, which is what you said. So effectively, they're saying that if you lack control, and you'd say, for example, rather than going to work or, you know, completing you know, taxes, paying utility bills, whatever, you go out and buy a console or you go out and play the newest game, you're letting it interfere with your livelihood, effectively, is what it's saying.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think about it, Smith? Are you addicted?
No, not at all. For me personally, that's nonsense. But like, people are very diverse, aren't they? A lot of people are very different. So I think you can see it in some aspects of life, probably with people that you play games with, that it can affect them because they get highly addicted. It depends how addictive, like if you have an addictive personality to it anyway, right? So
yeah.
I guess that I can see that. But then it's just another one of those things that they're adding to the list of things where you go, all right, well, this makes you depressed now. And it's like, well, it doesn't make everyone depressed, but it does make some, it could make some people depressed. I see that, but I kind of don't get the point. Like, I get what they're saying, like, oh, you know, new evidence, gaming can make you depressed. But it's like, okay, so can a lot of things. Where do you want to go with that? What, are you going to ban gaming? You know what I mean? I don't really get the point.
I'm with you on it because for me at the moment, it's probably the wrong phrasing, but mental illness is very romanticized at the moment, like to the point where, you know, if someone's slightly down about something, it's probably a mental illness. You know, people throw it about like it's, you know, when you used to message your boss saying, I've got diarrhea, and it almost guaranteed you a day off.
Yeah,
like
sure.
they played the depression card now, and that's almost a guarantee. Like, that's what I feel like it is. They make some funny comments here anyway, so let me give you those funny comments before we carry on. So critics complain, though, there is some backlash on this. People are saying that it could come to the point where it's a bit too vague, so you could over-diagnose it to the point where you're gonna have rehab hospitals that are gonna have a lot of gamers in it. It's going to be a sick esports team, but basically a rehab full of it, overdiagnosed people, and they reckon that potentially it could even occur, like an addictiveness to gaming could occur in people that are perfectly healthy. The way they name it here in The Guardian, this is, critics complain that the criteria are too vague. Overdiagnosis is bound to occur in people who have a perfectly healthy relationship with shooting zombies in the face. They should be more worried or concerned about people betting on sports or things like that in comparison to addictiveness than gaming should be. What do you boys think about that?
I think one of the biggest parts of the problem, going back to what we were talking about earlier, is self-diagnosis, mate. A lot of people, like you said, they feel like being sad isn't the norm. If you're sad, then you have an issue. There's something wrong that needs diagnosing. But the truth of the matter is, you'd never experience happiness if you didn't have the sad times as well. And I think people are
That's a deep comment, that one. Fuck, you know.
I think people are sort of worried about experiencing downtime, experiencing hardships, and they want to sort of pin it on something or find something that they can attribute it to, it so it takes it off the spotlight off themselves. And I can feel like this is going in that direction, where someone would say, it's not my fault, I have this disorder, this is why I'm addicted, rather than taking responsibility themselves.
Yeah, you see that a lot, don't you? See, like, it's the opposite for gaming for me. Like you said earlier, Crafty, like, sometimes it's nice, like, I enjoy it. Sometimes I like to do it just to get away from everything, and it takes my mind off it. It's almost like meditation for me sometimes. So to, like, put it in a bad light when it can be in a bad light for some people, but a good light for other people, it just doesn't make sense.
I think, so I agree with that. I think we do need to talk about one aspect, though, probably on a, not a serious level, but, like, you know, this living proof right now. So MMOs, let's just call it online multiplayer games, which allow you to get an interpersonal or maintain an interpersonal relationship with people, can, you know, the crossover from it being a game to it being more of a game is a very quick one sometimes. I think when you start building relationships in a game with someone who's worlds away from where you live, you end up potentially liking that person. I mean, it's definitely a mindset thing, because I met you, Smee, through gaming. Obviously, we've met in real life now. Hopefully, this is the person I talked to on the internet, but
it's not.
I knew you weren't baby 199. But like in general, it depends on your mindset. So you meet people and then you meet them out of gaming, and it's okay. But you know, me and you have dabbled in World of Warcraft. I say dabbled, like spent a lot of years there, and there's definitely loads of horror stories that's happened with just that game. And I think in general now, we'll get your guys' opinion on this, but don't you think, as a human race, things are getting to a point now where it needs to be borderline realistic to keep you interested now? Like, for me, it isn't, I've got a Nintendo Switch and Mario Kart's amazing for me, right? But every time a new game comes out that's a big one, so let's, for example, talk about The Witcher, they're going to bring Cyberpunk out. It's all about how realistic can you make it?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of companies are trying to do that. It's to the point where, you know, VR is coming out and AR. Like, when does it stop? Or are we going to get to a human race where we go backwards to a gladiator arena where we're paying for people to battle out to the death because that's what gets us a thrill? I don't know. What do you boys think?
Yeah. Well, like, I do get that. I think I get bored, like, of some things. Like AI sometimes in games acts stupid and it kind of like rips you out of the you know, being immersed in it.
Yeah.
And I do feel like sometimes, like especially with like RPGs, like when I've done it, I struggled with Red Dead just because it was like, yeah, it's cool, it's like a new game and it has all of these things you can do, but like kind of played games where you can do all of that, and now I'm getting to that point where it's like, yeah, I've changed my hair and like in Skyrim or like Fallout or like World of Warcraft, you know, I've made my beard look different, I've put different clothes on, I've shot random people, I've saved random people, like now I'm like more driven by story games, so like they have to be like a really good story. So yeah, I can see that. I can see like people are going to set higher standards all the time, and it is probably going to get to a point where it's ridiculous, right? It's got to do.
I mean, you only have to look at the Red Dead Redemption recently to see sort of where gaming is heading towards at the moment. Because in that game, there's like ridiculous levels of detail. And a lot of people, a common complaint from a lot of players was, would you want to go back to this and play through it again? Because when you think about all the things you have to do in Red Dead, from, you know, like keeping your horse in check, making sure your stamina's at a decent level, keeping your character clean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it all adds up to the point where it would probably put you off from wanting to replay it in the near future, just because you know the amount of effort it would take to go through the story again when you've experienced it once already. It's not fresh anymore, and it becomes more of a chore. I honestly get the appeal, and the amount of work and effort that Rockstar put into Red Dead was unreal. But in my sort of personal opinion, I'm finding myself much more drawn to maybe an 8 or 12 hour game that has a solid narrative, fun gameplay, over something that is, you know, 60, 70 hour experience where it's got insane level of detail and incredible sort of attention to realism, I suppose.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
I think bringing it back to the mental illness thing, like an addiction is very contextual to that person, right? So you just said that there, in Red Dead, you could literally look after your horse on a very personal level, where one person may just find that. There's probably people out there that never did that.
For sure, for sure.
And then there's people that go into things wanting... I think you... I don't mean any disrespect by this in general, because, you know, mental illness is very serious, and I'm fully firm believer that it needs to be looked at more closely. But I think if you're affected by a game that much, there's already something in your head that was like that anyway. I don't think a game can take you, can make you mentally ill. I think there has to be a foundation already, because if I just define a second, just so people can understand what determines a mental illness, right? A mental illness refers to a wide range of mental health conditions, so it's very broad anyway. It has to be something that affects your mood, your thinking, or your behavior, right? And they were saying in one of the articles that the problem is, if you have a bad experience or you fail at a game, it brings your mood down, which has an adverse effect on your real life. You're not concentrating at work or personal life. You know, people lose relationships because that all they're thinking about is that game. And behavior, I'm not going to say this, I don't believe it, but you know, you hear those stories of this guy killed a guy because Grand Theft Auto, you know, showed him how. Like these are the things they're trying to put it into. I don't think they're actually looking at it as a depression, but they're looking at it as it affects your mood to the point where it could have an adverse effect on life. I don't know, has a game ever done that to you boys? Like, have you ever had a game that does that? I don't know.
No, it hasn't for me. I feel like it might have for people around me, if that makes sense. Like people I've played games with before. But no, like it's never personally happened to me. But I know one thing I was going to say was when Basil was talking about like shorter games, that I'm all for that as well. And a good example would be Hellblade, because I'm pretty sure that's based around like...
That's a very relevant example, mate, for sure.
Yeah, that's good, right? It's a good example. Like, you probably know more about it, because I completed it, but I've kind of forgot. But that
never,
is a game
I never I'm played at. It, yeah. You able to give like a little overlook of what it is? I've never played it.
Yeah. Go on, Pastor.
So Hellblade is literally based around your main protagonist suffering with her mental health, and it sort of degrading as the experience goes on. She has effectively a multi-personality disorder, and you're throughout the whole game you're hearing loads of different voices in your head, sort of saying that they're trying to put you down, they're trying to say you can't do this, you can't do that. She has sort of manic flashbacks to traumatic experiences that happened earlier in her life, and it's sort of like a journey of, you could say, discovery, but also at the end it's very ambiguous, because without giving away too much, without spoiling it, it seems like she overcomes what you've been battling with throughout the whole game. And the way that they pose it with like the enemies you're fighting and the boss battles and the environmental design is all based around her suffering and her journey through that. As Maeve said, it's probably one of the best games I've played in the last 10 years for sure. Yeah. And it showcases mental illness in a light that it's very difficult to find in other mediums. So yeah.
Well, all right, let me ask you this then. Is gaming now creating characters and stories that you're so invested in, both on a multiplayer level and a personal level, that that's the problem? And the time of us playing games that were like for general like fun, like card games, dice games, you know, back in the day, that's what it was about. It wasn't about, you know, even in the arcades, it was the event of me and you going to an arcade. Like, has gaming gone too far now where it's too much? Like, before it was, you had movies to soak yourself into, and then gaming was a simple thing. Has it gone too far now? Is it going too far?
keep interrupting each other, mate. I would pose the argument that it's evolution, right? So... For sure, yeah, you could say that gaming used to be an easy pastime that you'd go and you'd spend a couple of hours, you wouldn't have much investment, and you'd walk away. But at the same time, with gaming evolving as it has, I don't think it's necessarily a negative that people are now invested in the storylines, they're invested in the characters, and that they're very much attached to where the series goes and grows as they grow. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a negative, but I would say that because gaming is now so much more involved, if you have, like you said, an addictive personality already under the surface, gaming will bring it out of you, 100%. Because if it's something you enjoy, you're going to pursue that. And if you're addicted, then you're just going to keep pursuing it no matter what the cost.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. And it's like, You see, well, I don't get what people expect people to do as well. Like, if you're not, if you like games and you're not gaming, then what are you doing? Are you watching TV? Are you sitting watching, like, if you're sitting and just watching Netflix every night, I mean, it might not be affecting your health, or your mental health, but, like...
That's probably an argument that it is, though, right?
It probably could be. Like, that's exactly it. But this is what a lot of people do, right? People have routine, especially, like, here. Like, so much routine. They get back from work, they're like, get some tea on, they sit and watch the same TV shows every day, like game shows followed by soap, and they talk about it. It's always in the news. They always, like, I'm so disconnected from it because I don't watch TV, but I hear people talking about it. Like, as soon as, like, I'm a Celebrity comes on, everyone's talking about it, and everyone sits down and watch it, and they watch it, like, religiously. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing that's so special that I shouldn't sit and play a game? Do you know what I mean? Like, or why would you tell me, because I'm sat playing a game, that I'm just procrastinating and I'm not doing anything? You know what I mean? When, like, oh, okay, I'll turn it off. What am I going to do now? I'll sit down and watch TV. It's like, nothing's really changed.
Yeah, and I'd also, I think it's a good point to bring up that I think we can argue, and the world's already argued it, and there's literally living proof, like, how many opportunities has gaming created? I'm not just talking on a, you know, esports is the second biggest, probably going, it's projected to be the second biggest sport out there behind football in terms of money coming up in the next 5 years. You've got, you know, YouTube, gamers on YouTube have made companies out of it, made stuff for their life. And if we're bringing this back to mental illness, which is the main point, like, you're telling me that it hasn't brought people out of their shells? Like, I'm pretty sure it has.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure it's made things of people that potentially wouldn't have had the chance before. I think it's a product of your environment. I think if you're having a bad time or in a bad situation, yes, gaming can get addictive, but then it depends on the reasons. You know, I'm happy to admit right now that I started World of Warcraft at a time where I was, you know, I think I was down about a breakup, and it helped me with that. But I didn't get addicted to the point where then I never left my house again. It's just, you know, gaming is there for happiness and enjoyment, just like watching a movie or a TV series is. The only difference is you're playing the characters, you feel more invested. And if anything's showing that right now, like Netflix trying the Bandersnatch thing to have you control a real human, they're showing you that people want to do that stuff. But it's just that's a game. There'll be Bob and Jenny down the street that are playing Bandersnatch, they won't realize they're playing a game.
Like, yeah.
You know, I think it's, again, there's a lot in the positive over the negative, really, for that.
Yeah, go on, Baz.
Without sort of like trying to dangerously oversimplify it, I mean, if you ask any parent, what would you prefer that your son or daughter did in their spare time? Play a game, or go out and drink and do drugs? I'm pretty sure that they would give you answer A, probably about 90 to 95% of the time.
Yeah.
And as we were talking about, addictive personalities will always shine through if it's something you enjoy. And, you know, I'm sure that we can cherry pick and say, gaming has always been positive for us, or it's helped us out in this way or that way. But I'm 100% sure that there are people out there who it has come in the way of relationships, it has come in the way of real life at times, and maybe it has, you know, negatively affected their mood, that's affected their family in turn. But I think it's too dangerous to put this in a category where we're saying, you know, people need help, and we need to start setting up sort of, you know, remedy groups and going down the route of sort of grouping up these people and saying, you have a problem and you need help, when it's such a grey area. It's too dangerous to just push that button yet.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good thing. It's like anything in moderation, right? So it relates to gaming in this scenario, but it relates to everything. It's like, you know, I'll have a donut. I'll have one donut. Bear with me, right? So yeah, I'm a donut. I have one donut, right? And right. It's like, yeah, you eat like multiple donuts every day, you've got a problem, right? You know, it goes in the same way, right? You know.
It's self-control,
like,
right?
Yeah, it's like energy drinks, right? It's like you drink one energy drink every now and again, not so bad. You drink loads, you know, say like multiple a day, you're probably going to very quickly end up with a problem. Then it kind of relates to that in life. Is anything in moderation? If you're sitting there and playing games and you're not moving forward, you're not doing the things that you should do, and you're addicted to this game, it's like, then yeah, then you've got a problem, because you're just playing it with
that. So yeah. I've got to end this segment. I've got a couple of comments made by the general public on this issue, which I thought might be quite funny for you to hear. So I'll run through a couple of them now. So one guy said, if you had the disorder, you wouldn't have had the impetus or the motivation to get out of the house or get a job. So his argument is, especially if you're our age, you've bought the game or console, etc., or able to play that subscription because you've got a real job. So you are going out. If you're addicted to, you know, addiction is a level, an overextension of, you know, stopping you in real life. So his point is, if you can afford it, it's because you're making money. I don't know what you guys think about that. I think it's a bit over exaggerating, but
For sure, mate. I think that's a little bit dangerous as well, because you could afford a drug habit, but it's you're still addicted at the same time. Just because you're going out blind,
donuts,
it doesn't mean
mate, those donuts. Mate,
all I'm saying is there's some people out there that have been on benefits for years, and you know, if you went to their recycling box, it's just full of like Stella. Or not Stella, because they can't afford that, but like White Lightning or something. It's like they don't have a job and they get minimal money a week, but they still manage to focus on getting what they desperately need out of that. So like, I mean, a subscription isn't that much a month, right? So say you've like, yeah, you've got to get the console, but once, yeah, you've got to get the console, but to be addicted to a game, then you're going to need the console to start, right? So then if you go, oh, I'm addicted, now I've lost my job. You can still pay for the subscription because it's only cheap a month. And what if you're playing Fortnite or something? It's like free to play. I mean, you can sit and just play that every day.
A guy has actually said what you guys have said. It's interesting you said that as a comment, but this guy said he disagrees. A full-blown crack addict will get off their ass and break into a house and steal shit or mug someone to feed their habit. So you'll do what you can to get your habit fed. Exactly. My point on that is, I think you need to play games to get addicted. I know you do with crack as well, but I mean, like, it's probably a longevity of gaming over crack. But let's not go into crack anyway. That could be the next podcast. Chris Ryan Parker, who calls himself Mr. Brexit. He said it doesn't exist, but he has heard of cases of people dying in internet cafes in South Korea from doing nothing but playing video games for 3 days straight, not caring about eating, drinking, or toilet issues. It's very rare, but it's definitely happened. There's cases. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, well, there was that one case, wasn't there, where a couple were playing the game so much they neglected their baby and it died.
Wow.
Yeah, that I'm pretty sure that was a thing.
That's like the most extreme you could get there, right?
That's extreme, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That last point I want to make, I think this is very, very much what we've said, but the problem is with it, and I think that's probably why a lot of people are determined to fight this, is there's a lot more positive feedback about gaming than there is negative. But the difference is the negative is thrown up in front of us by the media very willy-nilly, almost all the time. And the positive is you'll never see a congratulations to someone who's literally won £3 million because he's the best person at his skill on the news. It's getting more and more like it, but obviously it never was. But if someone dies in America, Grand Theft Auto is the reason. I think right now, as we said at the start, and it's probably a good way to end this segment, that the fact that I think everything in moderation is fine. You need to play it a lot to be addicted. Real life is real life. Virtual life is virtual life. If you're enjoying it, do it, but just don't do it at a crazy level. I will try and get Smave off the crack. But it might take a couple of podcasts to get there.
And happening.
Moving on to the donut set. No, I'm joking. Moving on to the gaming section. I know that was very gaming related, but I wanted to address the mental illness thing because I think, you know, going forward, a lot of things are going to be put into this mental illness bracket. Let's talk about gaming. So, big year for gaming. Good year for us to start Pipe Dream, if I'm honest, especially compared to last year. What are you guys, we'll start with Baza, what are you looking forward to this year in gaming? Yeah, what do you think about this year compared to last year? I mean, you've got, you know, hindsight's 2020, but you've seen last year and you can see what's coming this year, so...
I'm going to throw out an obscure one for what I'm looking forward to, lads. There's a game called Control, which is coming out in 2019, and it's made by Remedy. So they're the people who made were behind Max Payne, as well as Quantum Break, which was it was quite a big release. It was Xbox One exclusive when it came out. Had a lot of big names in it. Right?
Very specific style.
Very specific, yeah. So Quantum Break had sort of a movie intertwined with the gameplay. So you'd play an episode, for example, and then at the end you'd watch like an hour of episode of a TV show, which had the characters from the game in it. So it's a very unique premise. It received a lot of praise for being for trying something new, but longevity, it failed because when you think about it, those videos have got to be kept on a server somewhere forever for the game to function as it should. And unless you put them on a disc, the disc is going to be massive. So it's sort of a non-option. So Control is basically a supernatural agency. So think of, you ever seen SCP Containment Breach online? Sort of like those horror genre where it's like supernatural sort of creatures. So very similar to that. Your protagonist is going around the bureau and you're discovering what went wrong, why things went wrong, what's escaped, etc. It's sort of like a horror slash thriller, but I'm very excited for it, mate, because it's something different, it's something unique, and it looks like it'll be sort of narrative driven, so right up my alley for sure.
I think it's going to be have the same kind of style as Quantum Break in terms of it's going to be movie quality, or
I'm not too sure about sort of like the intersperse of episodes from a television show, but I do know looking at the gameplay, you have certain powers which you did in Quantum Break, and it's obviously third person as well. It is comparable for sure, but I'm sure they'll find a unique way to give you a twist, to give you a fresh perspective for sure.
Sounds interesting, yeah.
In terms of 2018 and 2019, I'll be honest, 2018 was a big year for me because I enjoyed a lot of releases, PS4 especially. You know, Spider-Man was one of the biggest games released for me in the past couple of years. Got big enjoyment out of that. Red Dead was a massive game for me. Been waiting a long time, obviously, since Red Dead Redemption 1. This year is shaping up to be a quality year again. I would probably say this year edges it. And obviously there's a lot of speculation now about moving to the next generation of gaming, so PS5, etc. So I think it's going to be an exciting one for sure.
Definitely, I think that's definitely something to look for. What about you, Smave? Anything shining light in the dark for you out there at the moment?
Absolutely nothing.
Fair enough.
Yeah, day's gone. I'm excited about it. I really like playing Dying Light with you, funny enough. Because I like an apocalyptic zombie game. I just do. It's up my
street.
No
one's done it that well, right? Yeah, either, I don't think.
I'm a big fan of Dying Light and a big fan of The Last of Us. And Days Gone has, like, I guess, similarities to both. But more Dying Light. But it is single player, so I can't play it like multiplayer with you. What's a little bit disappointing and probably going to be terrifying. you know how scared I was before. Imagine me on my own. I'll probably have to pause it quite often.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I'm excited for it. It adds like a little bit of a new twist to the zombie apocalypse kind of game.
PS4 only as well, is it?
It is. It's another exclusive because they make great games for PS4 as standard, right?
Yeah, we're not sponsored or anything.
About to say, just disclaimer right now.
Hit us up, Sony.
I'm sorry,
Xbox. I love Xbox. No, I'm joking. Don't mind.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's going to limit it a little bit, though? I've been thinking about it because, you know, well, I don't think we can all hide the fact that we do love console, but we like PC gaming as well. And even though it's an exclusive, this is probably a conversation for another podcast, but has consoles, PS4, Pro probably, and you know, the new Xbox gone as far as it can go now? So you kind of want the game on the PS5 now, or what are you thinking? Is it going to be still decent enough? I don't know.
Well, who knows? Like, I mean, I don't, like, PS5 could just be a name, you know, like with the, with, you know, bringing the PS4 Pro out, and then Xbox being like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. And then they're like, oh, we'll just make one slightly more powerful, and we'll call it the X. I mean, the PS5 could be really good, but they could have also called it the PS4 Pro X just to be annoying. You know what I mean? Like,
a trademark pending.
Like, I don't...
I think I have a worry right now. So, like, well, not a worry, but you know, PC takes a game to a level. When a game like Days Gone comes out, which is obviously, I think it's the first of its... you know, of that bracket in terms of it's the first game of that series, if there's going to be a series.
Yeah.
Like, I still feel like, you know, at the moment, the console's probably just starting to fall behind now. I don't know. It's going to be a good game, though. Let's not talk about, we go into hours about that, but...
You say that. But, like, let's just... let me just say one more thing about Days Gone. Yeah, I like the idea that it's going to be, like, you're riding around on your motorbike, and that's going to be an important aspect. Yeah, and I'm excited in general for that game. But like, going back to 2018, God of War was like, you know, that's a console game, exclusive again to PlayStation. And that was probably one of the biggest hypes of 2018 in gaming. So I don't know if consoles are in a bad state right now. Like, would you agree? I think God of War was a huge talk. Like, they built that game up, and I really enjoyed that game. Like, I think they built it up a little bit too high. I wish they didn't, because I expected, like, the way that everyone talked about it, there was literally nines and tens everywhere. I thought it was going to be like some groundbreaking game. What it was great, but it was on par with some of the best kind of story driven games I've played before. Not really any further ahead.
I think there's always going to be a place for consoles, because when you think about it, the average gamer, the one who goes out, maybe they buy a game every couple of months, maybe like twice a year. They'll buy something like a Call of Duty, a FIFA, something that they can buy and they can play for a long time. They're not going to want to go out and sort of research how to put together a PC, what are the best parts, the enthusiast build, etc. They want to plug and play. And I think there's always going to be a place for that.
Sure, I'm with you on that. I mean, my main point, I think, was I believe with you as well that there's always a place for a console. I mean, sitting on the sofa, beer in hand, playing a game is a better experience sometimes.
For sure.
What I'm probably should have specified is I'm talking about, like, graphically, has PS4 gone as far as it can go, and is it the right time for a game that's only starting a series now? For it to come out, or could they have waited for late 2019 to 2020 and brought it out then? And let, you know, if someone's bringing a 3 out or a 2 out, you understand.
Yeah.
But a 1 this late on in a console's time scale, just doing it on PS4, if you bring it out on PS4 and Xbox and then whack it on a PC, you're playing it at extreme graphics on a PC if you can, and then you still get enjoyment if you can't afford that. But is it too late in a time scale? I don't know. It's maybe something to think about, but...
Just going quickly back to that, mate, the argument I'll give you is The Last of Us came out right at the end of the PS3, and it done really well, and then they re-released it on PS4, and it done really, really, really well again.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those things where they're always going to be looking to remaster it, and if it does well, you'll for sure will see it on PS5, 100%.
Yeah, and they're just bringing out, like, a number 2, right? So, like, you know, The Last of Us 2 is coming out as well.
Exactly.
There's a freedom as well, right? If it you know, if this lands well on a PS4, potentially less of a risk instead of being the first people to step foot on PS5.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Do we know when the 5's coming out though? Like, because I actually don't have a clue.
There's a lot of rumors going around at the moment, mate. Like, in terms of years, they've been speculation that it'll be announced at this year's E3, and then a release of 2020 or 2021. If we're honest, going back to your question, Crafty, about have we gone as far as the PlayStation 4 can go, I think the answer to that is the PS4 Pro, so yes, we have. The base PS4 especially, I think we've reached the limit of where we can go with that. The problem that, in my opinion, of all new console generations is the first year or two is so dry and there's so little to look forward to, because the best games that are released always come out probably in the middle towards the end of a console generation. So whilst the PS5 will be hyped up and will be something I'll be looking forward to for sure, I will probably wait at least a year or so before I pick it up, sticking with the PS4 in the meantime.
Yeah, a lot of people can't afford it as well, right? So a lot of people stick around. Yeah. I still speak to some people that are not like big gamers, but they like to sit and play games, and they're still mincing around on the 360s and PS3s. I'm like, is that thing still around? And they're like, they pop in the CX. I bought a game for it the other day and sat down and played it over the weekend. It cost me 50p. They're stoked.
They're laughing, mate. They're laughing at you.
Yeah, they literally are having a giggle, because then I took 50 quid at a game, played it for a couple of Red Dead I've barely played, right? Like, I liked it, started playing it. But when I bought it, it's 50 bones.
Keep the receipt, mate.
Yeah, that is, right?
Hey, easy now, boys.
That's a one-night stand, that.
Terrible game. No one liked it. No one liked it. No, I'm joking. It's done pretty well. I'm just very useless at it playing games like that sometimes. But yeah, I barely played it, and I splashed out 50 bones on that, you know? Like, what am I even doing with it right now? I'm not doing anything. But yeah, so like, they are the ones that are laughing, because popping into CEX and buying a game for 50p, sitting down and playing it over the weekend.
I mean, a quick one on that, lads. Would you say that people who purposefully stay a console generation behind, would you say that's a solid sort of route to go down? The only thing I'd say against it is, any multiplayer game that comes out, you're missing out straight away. But single player titles, it's probably a good route, right?
Well, what are you playing? What are you playing the game for? Like, in my eyes, if a console offers you a certain thing, and as progression comes on in time, you're looking for a graphic upgrade. Of course, the storyline matters. If you're playing just storyline games where graphics don't matter, you've got a Switch or an old console to do that anyway. I think graphically, not even graphically, I think the way the console works allows developers to make a game that's stronger. So I don't know. I think naturally you should upgrade. You should upgrade. I don't think there's any benefit for staying, unless seriously it is the money. Because how much can you pick a PS4 up for now? Like, I think 100 quid, 200 quid.
Yeah.
If we're honest, like, you don't need a PS4 Pro to play the latest titles.
Yeah.
I think you're I'd be nitpicking a little bit.
Yeah, it all depends how far into like gaming you are as well. Like, you know, for the game I was talking about, it like walks into CEX, they're still stumbling across stuff. They miss stuff, you know. They're still stumbling into stuff that people already had hype about ages ago. And they're like, oh man, I played this game the other day. I'm like, yeah, that game was good. Like a few years ago, mate.
Before I had a mustache, mate.
Yeah. Exactly. But again, it's like having an expensive car. With consoles, it's like, as if you're sat in the old generation and then you're going in CEX, you can pick up like multiple games for cheap. You jump up and go, oh well, actually it's not that much for a PS4, and then you buy like the PS4 and you sit down and you go, hang on a minute, I was paying 50p for games, how come I'm spending like £10 now? Like, it's a little bit, it depends how hard you are for gaming, you know what I mean?
So I think that does it. I mean, for me, just to summarize gaming going into the year before we move to the next section, last year was a good year, and I agree with Baza. I think there was games that were good. I think the second half of the year was much stronger, around the peak time of September, October, November. You know, we always have a dry summer. I think this year they're starting hard. Like, if you not to plug our site, but if you go on our site and see the games that are coming out in February, there's literally probably four or five that I wish I could play. Obviously, because we're going to coverage them, I can't play them all, but like, I've never had that for a long time, which makes me excited going forward. And I think just the last point, if Cyberpunk does come out this year, which is a rumor, of course, I didn't play much of The Witcher, but the Cyberpunk's right up my alley. And if that lands this year, I think I'll get addicted and get a mental illness. Anyway,
that was deadly silent, mate.
Just come in. Illness, mate. Moving on, anyway. Culture. So, welcome to the culture section. We've got, obviously, we focus on this on our website as well. This is very broad, so it's hard for us to determine what culture is, but each week we're going to pick a subject. And this week, adaptively picked by Baza, is superheroes. The fatigue behind them. And before we start on that, how did everyone find the Super Bowl break Avengers trailer? Did it make you more hyped? Did it give you any more information? Are you less hyped? Let's start with Smee first, because he's a man that it's hard to hype up on superheroes.
All right, well, I've got a lot of opinions on this. All right, well, let's start with, I don't know, I haven't seen it yet.
Brilliant, comes prepared. It's on our website, by the way, for those who haven't seen it. You just go on the culture page and you'll see it perfectly at the top.
Basil, what did you think of it?
I'll be honest, mate.
I haven't seen it either.
I haven't seen it either. I haven't even lied.
All right. Well, for the person who has seen it.
Yeah, go on, mate. Go on.
Fucking me. Staff. It's a very quick one, to be honest. It's 30 seconds to 40 seconds.
I didn't have
maybe doesn't have time, but it does offer a different approach to the other trailer, where the other trailer is almost everyone reflecting on what's just happened, which is natural, of course, when someone clicks their fingers and shit hits the fan like that. But this is more of an uplifting, I wouldn't say uplifting, but it gets you more hype because you've got the people that survived banding together. You've got a flash picture of Tony Stark and Robot Lady, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, working together in like a workshop for 2 seconds. Basically, everyone that survived gearing up. And it also shows like pictures, really good pictures of posters and like scenery overshots of like the world without that many people in it. Because obviously, everything's cut in half. And it's, you know, I think Captain America pretty much says in it, like, we could have just stayed. Most people have just gone on with their lives and carried on with their lives and forgotten, but they can't forget. And then there's a walk with like the most mismatched Avengers team you've seen in a long time. Like, you've got like, you know, Captain America and Falcon, but then you've got like, you know, Black Widow, and then you've got like Rockets there as well, and then you've got, you know, like War Machine, like these people that, you know, Hawkeye's back as well, like all these interesting things, and you're starting to think to yourself, shit, this means like a big deal. And then when we got dropped today, the idea of it being potentially a 3-hour-long film with an intermission, I mean, I don't know, I can't help but get excited about these things. But I guess it brings us on to our next point, which is probably the question that we all think sometimes. But for me, I never want it to end. And I know this is the end of, if you watch the Spider-Man trailer, you see it's the end of the new Avengers, sorry, the current Avengers, and potentially the start of a new Avengers. But asking both of you boys, has superheroes, Marvel, DC gone? Is it going too far? Is it overplayed? Is it the same kind of thing? Are you still invested in the storyline? What happens after Thanos? I don't know. Like, how hooked are you now with it?
I'll be honest, mate, and say I'm hyped. I've enjoyed the journey so far. And I think it's going to be a very difficult transition, because when you think back to the way that they've built the Marvel Universe and sort of like the post-credit scenes, Thanos was a big part of those for a long time. And obviously that story arc is now coming to an end, as long as very likely we're going to lose probably a couple of the original Avengers as well, with the actors' contracts coming up. I think it'll be a difficult transition, and it'll be interesting to see if they can keep people's attention. But me personally, I'm still hyped. I have experienced some of the superhero fatigue, so to speak, more so on the DC side because of their sort of failure to get it going, and it's just been trash, basically. But the Marvel side, no, I'm still on board, and I'm looking forward to it.
Go on, Ant Smave. Let
he's raring to go, mate. He's raring to go.
I can hear him writing things down. Let the floodgates run out. Come on.
No, I'm.
Which they the films, mate?
I'm. What? You say what?
I never watched any. Never watched any of the films.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen anyone. No, I am quite like. I'm excited for Avengers. I've always liked Avengers. I like the aura of like. The films off of it to build the Avengers as well. The thing that annoys me is just the fact that you go on Netflix and there's a new superhero every day, you know? There's another one that come out and they go, oh yeah, just chuck them in the world. All I keep thinking is, you know what you're saying about the fact that, like, oh yeah, people are getting on with their lives and they're not happy about that. Not happy about it, but they're just like, how come?
Yeah.
Is, I get that, right? If you just fucked off to dust, I would be pretty pissed off and I couldn't just get on with my day. If Bazza, I'll be fine. I'll just get over it.
I've been dusting, mate.
I was going to say, that's a two-man podcast coming up, mate.
No, I get that. But like,
Bazza's dust.
That's the thing I don't get. It's like when you're watching another series, they always seem to have like people in the real world surprised when some cunt punches another guy through a wall. And I'm just like... like you've added another dude into another world again, and I'm like, how many times? Like at this point, I'm surprised people don't just literally just go, ah, cool, and carry on walking. Yeah, I've seen that. Iron Man done that. You know what I mean? Like that's where my bother goes. Is that they just keep dishing them out, and they just keep going. Yeah, technically, and they're in the same world, and it's like, well, there is no surprise anymore. Like it, I might as well start like toe punting people, and just being like toe punt man, and I.
Right. Well, I think it's a credit to the late great Stan Lee, really, though, because if you actually look at all the comics that have actually come out, none of these superheroes have just come out of the blue, though. Like they actually were a thing back in the day, so it's like he's kept to the storyline or kept to what they believe in anyway. I know it seems like they're coming out of the woodwork, but they've already been in the woodwork, see what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
I don't think there's any question about the history of the superheroes. I think it's more so, like Smave saying, because of the success of, you know, Marvel franchise, etc., so many companies, like Netflix included, are jumping on that train and saying, you know, if we just pop one out, a series, doesn't matter what the quality, it can be some standard, we'll make money. It's easy.
Yeah.
Easy money.
Exactly. It's become saturated. It's you know, like the excitement of when I first seen Iron Man, and I'm like, that's awesome. Some dude's like come up with like something no one's ever seen before, and it's surprising. Now I'm just like, all right, cool. Like, you know, oh, there's another one.
It's been done before.
Yeah.
Cool to see that in the world, wouldn't it, really? Of how, like, you know, first couple of times you hear people screaming and running away, like, it would be cool in the universe now to see people just like not shocked at it.
Or just nonchalantly walking down the street, oh, it's fucking...
Yeah, I mean, noticing it, but not just, you know... Maybe, yeah. I don't know, like, yeah, you know, coming together in a sense of, like, mate, we're not scared of you anymore. I've seen aliens fly from the sky. I've seen fucking Hulk climb through buildings. I've seen, you know, all these person in Iron Man suit. I've seen the fucking God come down twice, three times and four times.
Yeah.
Like, now everyone's just gone into dust. Like, what else is there for me to see? Like,
yeah, that's another thing I'm a little bit worried about is, like, if I don't know what's going to happen, if it is like what's called Endgame, right? So like, if there's going to either be like an end, what I am a little bit worried about, because I do enjoy this side of it, like Avengers. I always watch them and I like it. I love Guardians of the Galaxy. A lot of people turn to dust that are like my favorite as well. That's pretty annoying. But like, if they bring them back, I'll be a little bit like, yeah, you know, like just chucking them back there. It's pretty like, that's pretty PG. It's pretty nice. But if they don't, at the same time, I'm going to be like, well, where do I go from here now? Because, like, they ain't about anymore. And I kind of, like, that I'm the same. Like, they're going to be in there going, I can't move on. I'm going to be like, I can't move on. Stop making films without them. Why did you have to snuff them out? You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
You know what I mean? I'm very confused. I don't really know where to go from here. Like, part of me is like, yeah, bring them back a little bit. Like, figure something out. Yeah. But at the same time, it will be a little bit like, come on, like...
On that point, then, did you guys watch a Spider-Man trailer? I've not got big hopes for this, but did you watch it?
I did watch it, mate. I did, yeah.
So Spider-Man obviously got clicked, right? And the movie is set after Endgame. They've said that. What's your opinion on them bringing out a trailer for a film pretty much showing you that one of the people survived?
I think it's highly unlikely that they, after Spider-Man did so well, he's had one film, he did really well in Avengers, that realistically you would expect him to stay dead. I think there was always an expectation that there'd be a second movie. I think even when the first one came out, there was rumours that they'd signed up for a second one.
Wait a couple of months though, innit? I don't understand why you would drop it before Endgame comes.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, for sure. I don't really get the timing of it. Promotion aside, a lot of people have said that it's ruined the experience for them. I think that's a little bit too far, because you know, yeah, it has sort of spoiled a very minor part of it, but in my opinion, everyone's still going to go and see an Avengers, right? They're not going to turn around and see, oh, I saw the Spider-Man trailer, I'm not going to go see it.
I just think, it was a weird one for me, but then it does actually, for someone who probably gets a bit carried away with superheroes, it actually made me think, hang on a minute, actually, is he in an alternative universe? Like, has he been clicked into another world where the other half are not there? Like,
that's a cool theory, mate, because he has obviously a different suit.
I won't spoil the trailer for if you haven't seen it, but there's another superhero that Smave hates that come out. Jake Gyllenhaal does play it though, so I'm quite hyped for that. But you know, there's new people in this film trailer, and as you don't see any of the old guys from what I remember, so I don't know.
I mean, the one thing I'll say, I think you do see the same Mary Jane. I'm pretty sure you do.
She might have got clicked as well.
You never know, mate. You never know.
I don't remember if she did, but
it wasn't in the film, I don't think.
There you go. I don't know. Lastly on it then, she said about DC. I've got a counter argument to this. I've watched a couple of DC series lately on Netflix. I also went and watched Aquaman. Aquaman was probably the best film I've seen in a while from DC. And I will also say I watched, again, a couple of TV series on Netflix from DC, and they were actually a lot better than I thought they were ever going to be. Is DC making a comeback coming through? What do you guys think? Are they ever going to get to Marvel's level? Do they need to do a storyline at Marvel? Can they change it up a bit? I don't know. There's been a 15 Batmans. Can they really do a storyline like that? I don't know.
Now we've heard your life story. I don't know. I'm the same. I agree with Baz there. Like, I don't really enjoy them. Like, I don't think I can tell you anything about any of them. Like, I've seen a few of the films and I can tell you anything about any of them now. I'm pretty sure that we went and watched Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, we did.
And did I just get drunk? I don't even know if I paid attention.
We got drunk after, but I think you fell
asleep. I feel like I had a few, I probably did fall asleep. I think I had a few beers at the cinema as well. I don't know. I don't know how they still go. Like, I don't even know how they haven't just cut the cord on it and just been like, oh, this isn't really panning out. Like, they must do all right though.
Justice League stepped up for them, I think. It wasn't a fantastic movie, but it was better.
Yeah.
And Aquaman was sold out massive. I think it sold one of the biggest performing DC films ever, I think. It might be the biggest one ever.
There you go then. That might have been the answer. Because before that, I don't think they're anywhere near Marvel. They're just not, right? Like,
there's not enough characters for me to relate that to enjoy.
Yeah.
There's not enough. Like, how many times can Batman happen? Like, people slate me for saying that I really love Suicide Squad, and one of the reasons why I love Suicide Squad is every single person, bar the Joker and Harley Quinn, I didn't know much about, and then seeing seven or eight people that were new, and I was like, actually, hang on, this is interesting. It wasn't just another Batman and a Superman.
Yeah.
Which it made me actually care a bit more. I mean, they could have done better with it, but I'm just saying, like, it made me care more about what DC were doing. Any lasting comments on superheroes, boys? Any opinions? Lasting opinions? Anything you want to tell your fans?
The one thing I'd say, mate, is I wish DC would go back to making standalone films. Because you think about, like, the Batman trilogy, Christopher Nolan. They were some of the best superhero films of their time. They still hold up today. I think they tried too hard to copy Marvel. And I think they should just go back to standalone.
I agree 100%. Like, yeah, the old Batman trilogy was amazing. And, like, I'm kind of sick of seeing Superman just getting, like, throwing some dude through a building. Like, they always go a little bit too far with the visuals for me.
He's too powered, isn't he? He's too overpowered, man.
Like, yeah, did you see that in the film where they're literally, like, flying through skyscrapers fighting each other? Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, mate, like, it's a bit too much for me.
Yeah. Overall, I think, you know, superhero fatigue's happening. Hopefully the younger generation gets on the bandwagon. Quite hard to catch up. I think it's quite a hard thing right now to get into if you're a new person, but the films themselves do stand alone as pretty solid films. My advice to anyone listening is try and watch what you can before Endgame comes out so you can literally see what the crack is. Comes out in theaters in April, am I right? Comes out in cinemas in April.
April 25th, mate.
Go and catch it and watch. Captain Marvel is going to come out before that as well, so it's definitely worth watching. And just don't follow Smave on social media because he'll put you off superhero. That brings us to... You can follow us, though. Right, boys, we've got the new game that we've invented. Insert jingle here. No jingle yet, but we're calling it, for the moment, Place the Comment. Let me just quickly explain to you how it works for those that are new to it, because we're new to it too. What I've done is I've picked a multitude of comments left in certain areas across the internet. So the four areas we're choosing are Steam reviews, Amazon reviews, YouTube comments, and tonight will be Reddit comments. The fourth area is always going to be social media, but tonight I've gone with Reddit. How this works is I will say a comment and the guys are playing against each other. They both get one answer on where they think the comment was from. So what are those four areas, were they from? And then they get a bonus point if they name the product, video, game, etc., depending on the platform. The winner of this week will then pick the comments of next week and we will rotate it every week going forward. Are you guys ready? Excited?
No.
I'm ready, mate. I was born for this.
The crowd went mental there, didn't they? It's getting more crowd participation. Right, first comment. First comment's an interesting one for you. Literally an interesting one for you. It worked fine with my right hand, but when I came to use my left hand, it came out looking like the complete work of an imbecile. I can only assume they've created it for right-handed people only. And I would caution left-handers to try before you buy. Baza, which platform is this from?
That's got to be an Amazon review, right, mate?
And Smave?
Bebo. No, Amazon.
Hey, you're both correct for Amazon. That's 1 point each. But what is the item?
Can we hear the quote again, mate? Or the comment?
Yes,
sorry.
You can. No. It works. Have you got an answer, Smave, before I read it again?
Yeah.
Go on.
It's a mouse.
It's not a mouse.
Oh, mate.
Baza, you want to hear the quote again, yeah?
Yeah, please.
It worked fine with my right hand, but when I used it with my left hand, my work came out like a complete imbecile. I can only assume that they've created it right-handed only, and I will give caution to left-handers. Try before you buy.
Is it sort of like a drawing tablet? So one of those ones where you can, like they use it for Photoshop, etc.?
It is not. It is not. Bonus points over. The item that we're talking about is a Bic pen.
A fucking pen. Jesus Christ.
They said the pen was right-handed only.
I'm fuming, mate. I'm fuming.
That is a fucking crazy one. That's true as well. That was on Amazon. Next
Fantastic.
One. I bought this for my father-in-law for Christmas. His home was completely destroyed by a tornado the next day. Stick with me. Following the tornado, there was torrential rain. Today, we found this item amongst the soaking wet rubble of his home. Amazingly, it still worked. Platforms, boys?
Amazon review has got to be.
Yeah, Amazon.
It is Amazon. 2 points if you guess the item.
Is it a mobile phone?
It is not a mobile phone. Smave?
Is it a tablet?
It's not a tablet.
Fuck's sake.
So close to a mobile phone. Why did you even guess that? It is. Not slightly a contestant, so I apologise. It is a Hydra waterproof wireless Bluetooth speaker. It survived a tornado, boys, and you can get it for $29.99. You should buy one of those because that is madness.
Again, not sponsored.
Sponsored by tornado surviving speakers. Next comment. What the fuck am I doing with my life? Who does this? Please, someone help me stop. I repeat. What the fuck am I doing with my life? Who does this? Please, someone help me stop. Don't say this podcast. What platform?
This podcast. No, that's it. You're up, Bazza. You're always first.
I'm going to say Steam reviews, mate.
Okay, and Smave?
Steam. I'm just going to... No, I'm not going to mix that up. YouTube.
So it is YouTube. So 1 point for Smave. He goes ahead with a 3-2 lead. What is the video on YouTube this was commented on? If you get this, it'd be madness, obviously, because there's so many videos, but...
All right. Logan Paul.
Shout out to Logan Paul if you want to come on as a guest. We'll see you next week when Smave's on holiday. it's not Logan Paul, sadly, no. It is a video.
What are you doing? Baz ain't guest, is he?
Yeah, but he failed, so you don't
get it. I'm frozen out, mate.
It is a 10-hour long video of Darth Vader I was watching that, I'd say, what the fuck am I doing with my life? But to be fair, watching 10 hours of Darth Vader breathing is madness.
I'd rather watch that. Your first answer definitely made the second one, like the real reason, seem appealing.
Check that out if I was you. 10 hours of Darth Vader breathing, depending on what video site you were on. Next comment. It's to 5, so Smave's winning 3-2. Could win it in a couple of questions. Next comment. The camel toes were just plain awful. I had to rinse my eyes out with bleach. I repeat, the camel toes were just plain awful. I had to rinse my eyes out with bleach.
I'm going to go social media, to be honest, mate.
Smave?
YouTube again.
Smave wins again with you.
Oh, it's a rough one.
What video was this on?
I mean...
Was it Darth Vader breathing, mate? I think it is.
It's not that. Did you have camel toe confirmed?
Crap on a stick.
It's not crap on a stick either. I didn't have that comment.
All right. Nicki Minaj video.
It's not a bad guess, but it's not that.
All right, well, shit.
It's actually... the famous singer Adele and her song Hello.
Really?
Wow.
I don't remember any camo toes in that one, boys, but
I'll have to rewatch that one.
Hey, I didn't think that when I heard that comment, I thought straight away that I don't know how that's a bad thing. But then when you say Adele, Hello, I'm like, all right, yeah, it probably is a bad thing. I don't really want to see camo toes in that video.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. Smave can win it on this one if he guesses right, or wins the bonus point. If he loses, we're still in the game. It's crunch time. Next comment. I don't know if this is a scam or if mine is broken, but I'm still getting abducted by aliens every week. Let me repeat. I don't know if it's a scam or mine is broken, but I'm still getting abducted by aliens every week. What platform?
I'm going to jump in with social media.
Steam.
Steam? You're both wrong. It's fucking Amazon. I don't know why you would go for Steam. And because you're both frozen out, I'll tell you what it is. Amazon are selling UFO detectors on Amazon.
That's now, a quality purchase.
One of the top reviews was, I don't know if mine is broken, but I'm still getting abducted every week. Classic one there. $29.99 or $32 if you want to buy one of those. All right, moving on. Reading is just staring at a dead piece of wood for hours and then hallucinating a story. What platform was that on?
Social media. Come on.
Social media.
Yeah, social media is correct. Fully correct. Do you know which social media it was, even though Smave took the victory here? Do you want to guess?
Twitter.
Smave.
All right. Facebook.
It was Twitter. Baz, you would have been in the game, mate, but Smave snuck 5-4.
Oh,
5
cheeky.
Win.
Mate, you're shit at this.
To be honest, boys, you're both saying the UFO detector was on fucking Steam and fucking social media. It's madness.
Right, mate, I don't know why you're popping up.
Yeah,
how many points that do you ends... get?
All the points, mate. That ends today's week of place to comment. Maybe we'll be picking the comments next week. And I'll be playing. It's exciting times, exciting times. Anything else you guys want to finish with before we end the podcast this evening? Any lasting comments?
I'm really upset that I lost the game, mate, and I won't be appearing on the next podcast, so enjoy, boys.
I did have one thing. It's, did you get that chlamydia cleared up, Crafty?
Patent still pending on my device to clear up chlamydia. I've purchased a UFO detector because that's where I feel like I got it from.
All right, well,
anyway, if you still got to the end of this podcast, I want to thank you for listening all the way through. I know it's probably been a bit up and down, but this is the first episode of Two Beards and a Mustache, and we're excited to be here. This is going to be a weekly occurrence, hopefully, as long as Smave and Baz don't fall out, because we can only do it with three people because we have to pay the electric bill. For more content from us, visit our site, or again, hit us up on social media as always, and please drop comments on this the best you can, because we want to also have a question time at the end of the podcast so we can answer your guys' questions, and next week we can get answers and more questions. I hope you enjoyed it. From all of us at Pipe Dream, from Smave and Baza, if they're still here, well, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Goodbye.